Let us pray. Grant us your Spirit, O God, to listen and to hear what instructions you give for us. Help us, O God, to acknowledge your power and presence in our midst, and give us the faith to follow and to trust you wherever you would lead us. This we pray, O God, as I ask also that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I love the story of Naaman, the story of his healing in 2 Kings. As a matter of fact, I love the stories that we have been reading and reflecting upon over the last several weeks from 1 and 2 Kings. And these stories are so full of details that have meaning for our lives and that teach us something about our faith. Naaman's story in 2 Kings chapter 5 is no different. This is an amazing story that has so many small details that if we were to spend time unpacking them, we will discover something about God's amazing grace and saving power. I will share a few of those today. For instance, one such detail in the story of the healing of Naaman is the fact that God uses a captive girl, a captive Israel girl, to be the catalyst for Naaman's healing. If it had not been for this slave girl mentioning to her master Naaman that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal him, Naaman may not have been healed. And this fine details reveals to me and teaches us, reminds us that God often works from the margins of our world. God sometimes works in the margins of our society, working in unexpected ways. Another detail in the story is that the king of Israel overestimates his importance and fails to recognize that his God was more powerful beyond measure. In fact, this king did not know what the slave girl knew, that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal Naaman's illness. And so the king instead tears off his clothes in lament and thinks that the king of Aram wants to start a war with him. This detail tells us that sometimes wealth, power, and privilege blind us from seeing who truly is in charge and who has the true power to bring healing and salvation to our lives. Wealth, power, and privilege often blinds us to the ways that God is working in our lives. Another detail is that Naaman was actually a foreigner. In fact, he was the commander of the army that had conquered over Israel, and so he was the enemy of Israel, and yet God heals him. This fine details reminds us and teaches us that God's healing can come even to our enemies. God's healing can come to people that we would least expect it, and that this is what grace is all about. In fact, that's what grace means, after all, is it not? We can't control who receives God's grace. We can't control whom God has extended God's loving grace towards. God's grace is given to all and to any, and the invitation is for us simply to receive what God has freely given. Another detail in the story is that Naaman thinks that he could earn God's healing. If you know, if you remember the story, Naaman brought with himself a ton of wealth that he wanted to give as a gift, and he thought that by having this wealth, he could earn the healing that he needed. But that is not how the story ends. If you read further from where we ended in verse 14, Elisha refuses to accept the gifts because Elisha knew that what was being offered was a free gift of God, and that God does not need us to earn God's blessing. Another fact is that Naaman is so arrogant to think that he knows better about how he should be healed. Naaman misconceives God's action and doesn't recognize that it is not about Elisha, but about God working in his life. In fact, this brings me to another detail which I love about the story is that Elisha does not even make an appearance. Elisha does not come out to meet Naaman. Instead, he simply sends a messenger to deliver instructions to Naaman. Go to the River Jordan and wash yourself 7 times. And when Elisha's servant delivers the instructions for how Naaman can be healed, Naaman is furious. He feels personally insulted that Elisha does not come out to greet him and meet him. And he feels that this is an insult not only to him, but to his diplomatic stature and an affront to diplomatic courtesies. Naaman's pride and arrogance almost cost him his healing. For Naaman walked away in a huff, protesting that this prophet Elisha would not come to him to heal him. But thanks to his slaves, God's healing still comes. Thanks to Naaman's slaves who convinced their master to give Elisha and the God of Israel a try. It is on this point that I would like to spend the rest of my reflection this morning. In his pride, Naaman failed to recognize that the true actor in his healing was God, not Elisha. Naaman also mistakenly believes that his wealth, power, and prestige could obtain his cure. He neglects to notice that God was at work long before Naaman even realized that there was a God to heal him. Naaman almost missed out on this healing had it not been first for that slave girl who sent Naaman on his way to Israel. Sometimes we confuse human efforts and human intentions as representing God, when we need to be looking beyond those human intentions and human efforts, and looking toward God, and to see how God is working beyond what we can see, to believe that God is doing more than what we are able to see and hear with our own eyes and ears. God often works in ways that we do not expect. And many times it is in the very ordinary and mundane experiences of our lives. I think that is what God demonstrates for Naaman. Go and wash yourself and be made clean. Such a simple, mundane task of washing oneself will do the trick for Naaman. Naaman is offended that he is asked to go wash himself in the Jordan River, an unimpressive river compared to the rivers of Damascus. But that's how God chooses to work for Naaman. And Naaman would have missed his healing if his servants had not intervened and helped him to see sense. I think that all human beings are like Naaman. Sometimes we can misunderstand God's providence and activity in our lives. We may have grand expectations for God to do these extraordinary things, performing these above ordinary, above average miracles in our lives, when God is already working in the everyday and mundane things of our lives. Understanding that God is always with us, God is always working, is the invitation from the scripture this morning. Understanding that God's providence in this way is ultimately a matter of faith. Faith, as William Sloan Coffin once said, is not about trusting without reservation. The full quote says that there is nothing anti-intellectual about the leap of faith. For faith is not believing without proof, but trusting without reservation. Naaman was afraid to trust, and we too are often afraid to trust. And I think that we are afraid to trust because deep down we know that such kind of trust completely changes us and transforms the way we view the world and the way we experience our relationships with God. For Naaman, if you were to read the end of the story, you will discover that Naaman experienced a total transformation in his life. Though he had come to Israel as a foreigner who had other gods, he left as one who professed belief in the God of Israel and vowed and committed himself to serve that one God, even though he was returning back to Aram. When Naaman was able to trust without reservation, he was healed. When he was able to accept the simple instructions to wash and clean, he was healed. And Naaman's cleaning was so simple and yet so profound that we who are gathered here can think of an experience in our own lives where such transforming power has been present in our lives. And that, I can say, is often in the very simple sacrament of baptism. Naaman's cleaning for me is also a foreshadowing of our baptism, when through the water we are washed and through the power of God's Spirit we are made children of God, adopted and embraced into the family of disciples, initiated into Christ Holy Church. And when we share in baptism and communion, we are reminded that God's providence is for all, and that we are invited to trust without reservation for what God is doing, and that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask. God is able to use simple gifts such as water to demonstrate God's amazing, amazing grace. God is able to use simple gifts such as bread and juice to offer us God's abiding healing and strength. God is able to use the ordinary things in our lives to give us a healing that is profound and eternal. And the story of Naaman reminds us of this. As human beings, we are also reminded that we are invited to trust God in all things and to follow the guidance and the leading that God offers to our lives. And throughout the way in Naaman's life, God was guiding Naaman, first through that slave girl who instructed him to go to Israel, and his servants who instructed him to listen to Elisha's word. One thing we as human beings are particularly prone to do is to believe that God wants to control every aspect of our lives. And yes, God is in control of the cosmos in a way that is mysterious and beyond our understanding, in our eyes and in our minds. But God also desires a kind of relationship that invites trust from us. God gave us free will. God gave us the agency to be able to make decisions for our lives. And that free will was certainly working in Naaman's life. And if Naaman had been left to himself, he would have missed out on God's healing. He would have walked off in a huff and not trusted that God was working even through the simple instructions that Elisha had sent. So I have come to believe, like the professor Carrie Ann Mitchell teaches, that if we mistakenly think that God is controlling our lives rather than preserving, cooperating, and guiding us, then the first hint of difficulty in our lives shatters our ability to trust without reservation. With a more robust understanding of God's gracious providence, we are better able to discern how to make the most of God's providential actions in our lives, regardless of what external pressures we encounter. This day, we are invited to offer ourselves to a God who is still working in ways that we both see and ways that we do not see. We are invited to trust in a God who offers grace to anyone and to everyone, thus demonstrating God's radical inclusivity that embraces even a foreigner like Naaman. And God invites us to offer ourselves in loving service and to trust that God is able to work in ways that we can never ask or imagine, and that God is using us even now and others among us even now. The invitation is simply to open ourselves up to this amazing grace that God freely offers to you and to me, and to trust without reservation that what God has set out to do will come to fruition. Naaman had to learn it the hard way by humbling himself, but eventually he learned to trust and his healing came. I pray that this day we too can learn to trust and follow in the way that God leads us. Amen.